Well, welcome to Geneva College Chapel on the Grid. We're discussing being a Geneva person in trying times, and it's good to meet with you again today. Before we get started, I want you to think about these times and think about who's a Geneva person that you wish you could be with off the grid, that because of our separation right now, you can't be. Whose voice do you want to hear in person? Who do you want to be able to see? Who would you like to be able to give a hug? I'm thinking today of Tim Russell, who is one of our Geneva alums and who passed away last week. Many of us who have been at Geneva for a long time remember Tim, and he was both a student. I saw him in The Hound of the Baskervilles as a student at the Bagpiper Theater. He was the lead. I've known Tim. I had known him for a long time, and this is the reality that we live in. He died last week and is in the presence of the Lord, and we're confident about that because of the Lord. And so we miss people, some farther away than others. As we start to think about our lesson for today, I want you to think at your home. Most of us are in our homes. What are some Sundays at your house? At our house, when we lived in a house on Auld Avenue in Allison Park, Pennsylvania, there were a lot of things we wanted to do to our house that we said, we'll do that someday. One of the things was we had this big wall between our kitchen and our dining room, and we always imagined what a wonderful space that would be if we could take that wall down. And we always said, well, someday we'll do that between activities, school activities and everything like that. We just never got around to it. Well, some Geneva alums by the name of Davis and Sarah Stripe bought our house, and he's a Geneva Engineering alum, and that wall's down, I've heard, and I can't wait to go and see it. That was a someday for us. But we're not in a someday moment right now. We're concerned in chapel today about everydays. And we've been talking about everyday patterns and everyday practices. And this is especially challenging for us right now. Our question today is, why us? Why do we need to be the ones who are living through this incredible day of distress and disease and even death? You know, the Surgeon General this week has been telling us that this is going to be the most difficult week. And we hope and pray that we don't have two or three most difficult weeks. We hope that he's right. But I want us to remember that God has been preparing us for this. This is not a surprise to the Lord. And in fact, he is preparing, has been preparing us to be tested. And we're being tested at our very core. We're finding out what faith in Christ means in every aspect of life. And so today, we're going to be looking at the core again, and we're going to be looking at Geneva's first core value, serving with grace. So under Christ, with Christ as King and under the Scripture, we serve with grace as Geneva people. The call for us is to serve the Lord. Psalm 100 that we sing in chapel on many occasions says, serve the Lord with gladness, or serve the Lord with mirth. And serving the Lord is a call that comes to us from every section of Scripture, from the law, from the prophets, from the Psalms and the Proverbs. Serve the Lord comes to us in the Gospels very clearly, and we'll come back to that, and in the epistles. And so we hear this call resounding throughout Scripture, serve the Lord. The gospel call comes to us, one of the places it comes to us very clearly is in Philippians, and I'm going to read in your hearing this morning, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Philippians 2, 1 to 8, it goes like this. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the gospel to us, that Christ took on the form of a servant for us and died on the cross to save us from our sin. I'll give you a little preview. Dr. Curtis will be speaking on Wednesday, and the resurrection is his topic. So we look forward to that. As we consider God's call to us in service, we want to remember that Easter is coming. The resurrection day is coming and has come. And I commend to you the scriptures that relate to Christ as our suffering servant. You can read Psalm 22 or Isaiah 52 and 53, among many other places in the Old Testament, that tell us that Christ, who is coming and who has come to suffer and to serve on our behalf. One of the questions you might be asking is, does this apply to us? Does it apply to us today? And yes, the scripture that we read says it does. It says we should have this mind among ourselves because of Christ. So what applies? Well, first of all, let's look at the Philippians passage itself, because Christ serves as our perfect example in Philippians chapter 2. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. It's not that Christ didn't have equality. In fact, he did. He was not only the image of God in his human form, but he is God, who was and who is to come. He was God already. So he already had equality with God, but he didn't count that as something to be grasped. Instead, he made himself nothing. He emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. And this is what taking on the form of a servant means to us in Christ. Emptying ourselves, considering ourselves to be nothing for the sake of Christ and for others. But we can also ask, what applies to us now? How does Christ apply this? Because he not only gives examples, but he teaches us quite directly about these things. He says to us, you must be last, and the servant, even the slave of all. Not only are we to serve the Lord with gladness, but we are to serve one another in submission as servants and slaves. And like Christ himself, we are called not to be served, but to serve others. Christ has taught us these things directly in his word. Now the challenge of the core value that comes directly to Scripture is not only to receive the call and respond, but the challenge is that we're to serve with grace. And this is not a Geneva addition. This is not something that got into the core values as an additive piece, but rather it comes to us directly from 1 Peter 4:10, where we're called to be stewards of the grace that's been given to us in how we serve one another. And so serving with grace is something that we're called to and that we're challenged by. We think, I can serve, but service with grace is much more challenging. For instance, we can't just do our duty. Doing our duty is not enough. Yes, we should be doing our duty, but we need to do it with grace We can't just check off a box. Secondly, we can't do it for the sake of advancement. We talk about servant leadership, but when we talk about that, service is not a stepping stone to leadership. We serve faithfully wherever we are, and when the Lord needs us to lead, He will call upon us, and often calls on us to lead just from where we are, without status or station or position to go with it. And we're not called to serve so that we'll get respect or for our reputation. In fact, like Christ, as we're serving with grace, we may attract hostility. We may be unseen. And so our need to face the challenge of serving with grace is real. And what it means is for us to do what Christ has done. We need to empty ourselves. We need to give ourselves up, and we need to do it willingly. We need to give ourselves up willingly. This is what the scripture means when it says, present your body as a living sacrifice. We're not actually supposed to go out and die or to seek death, but rather we're to become living sacrifices. We can think of examples of this. Think of Joseph. When Joseph was called up to interpret Pharaoh's dream, one of his companions had been exalted and one of his companions had been hung. He didn't know whether he was going to live or die. Think of Esther the same way. She was a living sacrifice when she went into the king. Think about Abigail. When David was about to come down and slaughter Nabal and her household, and she stood in the gap and confronted David in a very difficult way, not knowing what would happen. Being a living sacrifice, the Lord calls this our spiritual worship or reasonable service. This is a reasonable call that God has given us. And we're to conduct ourselves with charity, with generosity, with gratitude in our service, in all of our service. Well, how are we supposed to do that today and every day? Well, I'm going to encourage us to stand in the gap in our homes. What we need to do today is to put these things into practice as we're stuck at home. C.S. Lewis did much of his work based on wartime or in wartime. Mere Christianity was a series of radio talks given on the BBC in England during World War II. And one of the things he said when he was asked why did he do this was because he thought he needed to go to the weakest part of the line and serve there. And that's what we need to do in our homes. What's the weakest part of the line in your home right now? Where do people need the most real help? Look for those places and go to serve the Lord in your household, where you can in your community. This is as simple as asking the question, how can I help? Without reservation, without condition. How can I help in this place? And not to become weary in well-doing. One of the things I encourage husbands to do is to try to outwork your wife. At our homes, find the person who's got the most burden and come alongside and help. And make sure that you don't consider yourself as the only one who's burdened in the household. Everyone has needs. Even the dog has needs. And so we need to think about how we can serve. Now, you ought to be saying, Dr. Traub, you've got to be kidding me. And if you think I'm meddling a little bit, our pastor meddles in our lives periodically. We say, okay, pastor, that was a great sermon, but now, Pastor Jeff, you're meddling when things get a little close to home. Well, I hope that I'm meddling with us a little bit because I certainly am with me. These people I live with, you don't understand my household, and I'm sure I don't. I'm sure I don't. But I understand our households. It's not just being nice at home. The Lord calls us to sacrifice. It's a sacrificial service. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. And it may not result in gratitude from others. But the call is clear. God has prepared us for just this kind of service. Service unto Him, service among one another, and service for others. We need to give ourselves up. I wonder whose voice you said you would like to hear that you're separated from. I think the voice that we all long to hear is the voice of Jesus Himself. And we want Him to say, as I believe He said to my good friend Tim Russell, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done." If we're able to serve with grace, we will hear that voice, because the Lord tells us that He delights in His servants as we serve. Please pray with me. Our loving Heavenly Father, we ask today for grace. Lord, we hear Your call to service, and we want to serve You, and we need Your grace that we might serve under these conditions, perhaps for a very long time in our own households, with grace. We ask that You will bless us and encourage us in Christ as we look forward this week to the celebration of Resurrection Day. And we ask that You would help us to know how to present ourselves to You as living sacrifices, to be like You in the ways that You enable us, O Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, all you nations, extol Him, extol Him. All you peoples, for great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.